and welcome to episode 1278 of The Sleeper in the Bus. It is Thursday, April 4th. I'm your host, Paul Spohr, joined this afternoon by Justin Mason. Justin, good day, sir.
Good afternoon.
That's right. How you doing?
It is afternoon. I'm doing all right. How are you?
Great. I'm a diehard fan of the only undefeated team in baseball, baby. Let's go. Nice little comeback win. Yeah, with the Pirates losing, we're the only ones left standing. Well, we didn't play for 2 days either.
Yeah,
the
Dodgers lost too.
When you just don't play, that helps. Yeah. But
I mean, it doesn't help my fantasy team where I would have liked to have a second start from Skubal already. I get it this afternoon. So.
Yeah. No, you get it tomorrow. He's being moved to the home opener. It's Manning today.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah. It's Manning this afternoon. So that weather, I think that weather is costing you a two-step next week then, right?
Probably, yeah. I mean, he's not going to start Monday or Tuesday if he's starting Friday. So
yeah, he was supposed to go on Wednesday.
Yeah, so I should have had a two-step. Yeah, I should have had two-step lined up pretty easily.
Yeah, it was going to be Casey Mize on Tuesday, then Skubal on Wednesday, and that would have set up for next week. So, I mean, you'll get him. You know, you'll get your stars. Yeah, but you get the home opener. That's going to be fun. Tigers are undefeated. Hopefully they can hold it. Matt Manning getting a spot start today. That's a one and done. I don't, if he throws a no hitter, it doesn't matter. It's gonna
going
to be a one and
down.
Done.
Yeah.
But that's all right. You know, nice to have a little bit of depth. I'm excited about that. But yeah, the Tigers playing well. Their offense isn't great, but it spikes up when they need it, which is certainly helpful. But yeah, we get, you know, Thursday show, I think as we kind of go through the season, it's going to be our smaller one, just kind of catch up on some things. And today what we're going to talk about is a little bit of news, some injury news, and then look at some fast starts, some of these hitters and whether or not we believe in them, looking in some shallower leagues too. You know, we play a lot of deeper 15 team type stuff. These guys are rostered. They're long done rostered, but we want to help our 10 and 12 team brethren for sure. You know, you're in your beat Justin Mason, which is a 12-teamer. Mm-hmm. Plenty of our listeners play in 10-teamers as well. And, you know, those are plenty difficult kind of filtering through the deep waiver wire and seeing, like, who do you really want to jump on? You know, we've talked about the differences between the two league formats, and we struggle sometimes to move on from guys that we liked at the beginning of the year to get the hot new flavor of the week. And so we'll go ahead and take a look at some guys there. But we got some news on the injury front. This one I don't think surprised either of us. Unfortunately, we would have loved to be wrong. But we jumped off of the Eury Pérez train right away when things were looking pretty grim with his health. And again, hoping to be wrong and get some good news. That is not the case. He is indeed going to have TJ out for the year, you know, into next year as well. Still so young that, like, you know, I don't think it ruins his long-term outlook or anything. You never know with pitching, but still a dynasty hold, obviously, but you're cutting here. I guess, is this somebody, like, you play a lot of dynasty stuff. Do you go out and try to get these guys right when this stuff happens? Are you going to go for Eury Pérez and try to maybe buy a little bit lower, especially if somebody that has him might be feeling themselves as contenders this year? You can give them a big piece for this year and wait out the Eury Pérez injury. But where are you at with him now going down for TJ? Going to be out till at least June, July next year.
Yeah, I tend to like to kind of just go to the guy or gal who has the injured pitcher who's getting Tommy John and go, hey, listen, if you're competing, I can give you pieces for now and I'll stash them for later. And, you know, often that works out. Like, I've got a dynasty league team where I've got, like, Jacob deGrom and, you know, a few other guys who are like, they're coming back this year and they may not even be that helpful for me this year, but next year I might have a juggernaut of a team. So
yeah. Will you do that while you're competing as well? Do you try to balance the two, or you really got to be looking toward the following years?
If I'm trying to compete, I'm only caring about competing right now.
Good. Okay.
And now I know a lot of other people kind of try to straddle that fence.
Good luck.
Yeah, flags fly forever. Like, you know, I'm in my Dynasty 3 sport league, which is the league I was just referencing. Like, I won year one, and I went all in on year one. And the last couple years have not been great for me. Uh-huh. But they will never forget, and I will never let them forget, that I won year one. Like,
that's
it is just, like, that flag is still flying and will forever. So
forever.
To me, like, I understand why people try to like do both, and some people are really good at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you are, more power to you. But I think what happens to a lot of people in Dynasty Leagues is they try to straddle that fence and they end up finishing third or fourth and they regret it and they don't win championships. So to me, just if you have the opportunity, go for it.
Yeah, no, I really think you really try to go one way or the other myself. I agree. I don't have the good strength of kind of balancing the two. So I'm usually zeroed in on one or the other. And so Yuri Perez, somebody you could take a look at. Now, shorter time frame this year, but we got official word on a timetable, or at least an ideal timetable. Obviously, these things are always subject to change. But Josh Jung, who fractured his wrist on a hit by pitch, 8 to 10 weeks. Let's say you got three ILs, 12 teams, 10 teams, somewhere in that range. What are you doing with Josh Jung?
I mean, obviously, you're throwing him on your IL for right now, but if you have a roster crunch on your IL or you're, God forbid, in an NFBC league, like, I think he's a drop.
You think he's a drop in NFBC at 8 to 10? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just think that is right. Too long of a timetable, and you just never know how guys are going to react power-wise after coming off a wrist surgery. And so for me, and there were a couple questions in our Discord about, like, hey, do I hold on to Josh Jung in an NFBC league? And I don't think you do. I think you drop him. You know, it sucks because Jung was playing well. If you sort the season by WRC plus, he has the second WRC plus this year in baseball, right by Mookie Betts. So that is disappointing.
Very.
That being said, like, you just can't hold on to a guy that's going to be out that long if it's going to cause you roster construction issues. So if your ILs are open, yeah, obviously throw them on there. But if your ILs are full, it's time to drop him and move on to someone else.
Yeah, you know, and it's hard to say. We can't list all the players that we would, you know, take on the IL over somebody like a Josh Jung. But if a few of your single-digit round guys start getting injured and you're trying to balance it, you know, he's going to get pushed off pretty quickly if things go south for you, which obviously hopefully not. Hopefully you can ride with it on three IL slots. We still don't have an official timetable, at least I haven't seen one. I know he's sitting out for a month, but on Royce Lewis, have you evolved your position at all on him? Are you cutting him in NFBC universe with no IL?
I'm kind of playing it week to week right now.
So, yeah, like, that's where I'm at too.
I don't know that I would cut him, and I'm not in a position where I have to make that decision. Fortunately for me, like, the only places I have him are on my third overall Gladiator team.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple.
How about your 1800th overall?
I think he's on that team too. Not 100% sure, but for those who didn't see my tweet,
that's amazing.
I was third overall in the Gladiator, but I was also 1800th overall in the Gladiator. So let's see, is he on that team? No, he's not on it.
Okay.
But I do have plenty of injuries on that team, including half of my pitching staff.
Goodness.
Yeah, legitimately that's four of my pitchers on the aisle.
And, you know, those leagues were pretty early drafted, and they all have to be in a certain window because otherwise people would really get an advantage if they spaced it out a bunch. So you'd really have to they have to have them in a tight window, those Gladiator drafts, mm-hmm. which is where you just draft your 23, and that's it. You can't have waves of them, or else that would just be too unfair for an overall contest.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm riding week to week right now with Royce. Haven't put myself in a pinch yet where I have to cut him. Basically just riding with six reserves for right now. This one, you know, we're kind of going in decreasing severity here in terms of injury. Jamer Candelario goes out with a little elbow injury yesterday. Don't even know if there's going to be any sort of major issue because they're off today. So he might just have come out of yesterday's game on Wednesday and be fine. So I guess it's more of like, you know, monitor it and be careful. If he were to hit the IL, though, with Jamer Candelario, given where you got him in the 200s or something, is he a guy you would hold over in a 12-teamer NFBC situation with no ILs?
it's totally dependent on whether or not or what the news is. Like if he's
That's fair.
If it's going to be like a minimum 10-day stay or something like that, then I'd probably try to figure it out. If it's going to be, let's say it is a month, then yeah,
it'd have to be a month for on Jamer. Yep. It'd have to be a month plus before I'd even consider. I think anything less than that, I'm going to stick it out. Yeah. I just want to bring it up. But unfortunately with them not playing, there's no real news to act on. We don't really know exactly what to do there. So we'll kind of wait and see on Jamer Candelaria. Hopefully he's okay, man, but they've been snake bitten with the injuries early on. And again, I know we talked about it when one of their other injuries hit, cause they keep hitting them. Oh my God, they got too much talent. They got to trade somebody. This is why we got to be careful saying that. Cause you don't.
They could have traded hitters for Miami pitchers and both teams would still be in a mess in the situation.
Exactly. Hey, in fairness to Cincy, you know, they're getting a bunch of injuries, but they're 4-2. They're playing well, despite running a bunch of injuries. Cause guys like Nick Martini are stepping up in the stead of guys who are out. So we'll see how things go there. But yeah, sit tight on Jamer right now. If we get some bad news, so maybe we'll discuss it tomorrow if things change or on Monday. But hopefully it's just one day off, kind of perfect timing to get him a day off. And then he's back, little elbow. Ended up hitting a double after hurting it too. Like you could tell it was hurting in the middle of the at bat. He rips a double, so I thought he was good to go. Then he ends up coming out. I think you were trying to lip read it, and he was saying like, I can't throw. Can't throw right now. So maybe it's just like one of those things where it's really tight. Weather's been so nasty. Obviously games are getting canceled. And then the ones that are even being played are in hideous weather. So it's been ugly out there. All right, Justin, let's talk some fast start hitters. And I just want to see if you're in or out. Again, we're in the 10-12 team realm here. So these guys are going to be widely available in those situations. Let's start a catcher. This is two catcher league for sure, because you're not really looking at Carson Kelly in any sort of one catcher situation, but he and Rogers are pretty much splitting time equally here. Each have a homer. Kelly's on fire going 4-for-9 so far in his 10 plate appearances with a homer and 5 ribbies. Again, two catcher formats. Do you have any interest in Carson Kelly?
Yeah, I think I do. I mean, Kelly is a guy who's had some productive seasons in his career and, looks like he's going to get a decent amount of playing time. He's a good catcher behind the plate. So I think in two catcher formats, you could be doing worse than a guy like Carson Kelly.
He went 0-for-5 in the day game with 3 strikeouts.
Never mind.
We're fully out. I shouldn't have even brought him up. Unbelievable.
It's crazy though. Like how much that will drop your batting average.
He's of course.
444 during the day.
Yeah.
286.
Yep. I mean, we are still in that zone and we will be for another, you know, couple weeks really where a game or two can completely flip your numbers to the positive or the negative. But yeah, I think in two catcher leagues, you know, he is cropping up to a point where I'm like, I'm kind of interested. Catcher is deep, but the playing time has been there. Like I said, they are dead split in there with Jake Rogers and Carson Kelly. So you can take a look, see where it's at. And if you're picking up somebody like Kelly, you're burning and churning anyway. Yeah. So if he does, you know, completely fall off and it was just a little fast start, then you move on. But right now, I think if you're in a pinch, you need somebody. Here's one. Would you go Tyler Stevenson for him, who's off to a slow start?
Probably not.
Okay.
I think that's close, though. Like, I think Tyler Stevenson is in, like, the outside of the top 20 catchers where I don't mind just churning.
What about Austin Wells in New York?
Yeah, I think I would.
Okay. Yeah. So if you're just playing hot hand, you just try to catch lightning in a bottle. Now be careful with that though, too. You can end up chasing your tail where you're always catching the downshift on guys. That's the tough part about playing the hot hand. And that goes back to what I'm saying about playing.
Or you could drop Yainer Diaz and really regret it. Like, you know, like I did in the league.
I was going to say you did that last year. Yes.
Yeah. So yeah.
Don't do that. All right. Let's go over to first base. Your favorite, Mr. Paper Wrists himself. He's playing well right now. Alex Kirilloff, just 5% rostered. This is according to Fantasy Pros, which I believe takes the composite from ESPN and Yahoo. So again, I want to stress that we're focused on 10s and 12 team formats here, but he's off to a fast start. 2 doubles, a triple amongst his 8 hits and 11-17 OPS across 20 plate appearances. I'm not going to cite the numbers on everyone because, again, they're gaudy, but it's 5, 6, 7 games. But do you like Alex Kirilloff as a first base outfield eligible type guy in the shallower formats?
I don't think so.
God, yeah. You hate his guts, dude.
I mean, he's he's a jerk. I mean, of a person. I don't know. I'm sure he's a really nice person, actually. But yeah, like he just doesn't offer enough of anything to be chasing that. Like he's got like about a 50% ground ball rate. He always tends to have a high ground ball rate. Right now, the
batting. You don't like the batting average?
Batting average is fine, but in a 10 and 12, I want something more with that batting average. Like, you know, like in a 15, I guess he makes some sense, right? Like, because at least he's giving you batting average, hitting in a good lineup and stuff. And it seems like he's playing regularly. But in a 10 or a 12, like, I want something to go along with the batting average. You know, you're not getting speed. He's got two career stolen bases in 726 plate appearances.
Could get some punch if the paper wrists hold up, no?
The problem is he's just not a guy who, like, elevates the ball very much. Like,
yeah. You know,
he's a career 9-degree launch angle guy. He tends to put the ball on the ground a lot. Maybe, you know, maybe he does, like, in a full season, like, hits for good batting average and hits, like, 15 home runs.
Yeah, 18 but, like, homers per 600 plate appearances.
Yeah, is that something you're really chasing, especially a guy with his injury history? Like, to me, I don't know that this is worth it.
I'm a bit more intrigued. I like Mr. Paper Wrists. Ride it while you can until the wrists rip. He's batting two every day, you know, against righties, sits against lefties. But if they're not facing a bunch of lefties in Minnesota, I think you can go for it. I kind of like it. If you need batting average, I agree. I would want more, but sometimes on the waiver wire, it's not necessarily there. And batting average is always tough to find, especially that batting average that isn't a little bit emptier. And I will say, you look next week, two lefties, one in each series, one in the Tigers set, Scooble, and then one in the Dodgers set, Paxton. But that's still five games because they do play all seven next week. So yeah, I'm a little bit more interested in Kirilloff if you're looking for batting average, and because he can play outfield too. If it was just first base, then I do need a bit more pop there. But because I can also play outfield with him, I'm a bit more open to it than Justin is with Alex Kirilloff. All right, let's jump over to second base. This guy is running hot right now, and I'm actually surprised that he's still so lowly rostered, but and I don't know when Fantasy Pros updates their stuff, so maybe they are a little bit behind on, I don't know, but only 25% rostered for Bryce Strang. He has six steals so far. His batting average running hot, too. He's getting on base, and he's running wild. Do we like Bryce Strang in this shallower leagues where these bases are going crazy for him?
See, this is one that I kind of kicked myself for, because I really like Bryce Strang coming into draft season and was trying to get him in a lot of different spots. And then I let the rumors and the news kind of talk me out of it.
Yeah.
Because there's all this talk like, hey, he might not make the opening day roster. He's, you know, he could be down in AAA. He's not going to play full time. By the end of spring, like he was locked into his role. Right. And he's playing really well.
Where did the AAA stuff come? Because I saw it too. I was talking about it, you know, saying like, oh, it's looking like he's going to be going down. I don't know, man. Some of this noise, it's that spring noise versus signal type stuff. And they had him, you know, looking like he was going to go down to the minors. But his glove was always the solid piece. I still don't really believe in him much as a hitter. But he's like stealing every time he gets on right now with six swipes. That's incredible for Bryce Strang. I think he's kind of a must roster when he's running this much, no?
Yeah, I've got him in the online championship, and I'm pretty glad to have him. So, I mean, he's making elite contact in the zone early on. Now, obviously, super early, he's running hot, like things can change. But this is a guy who's got a pretty decent hit tool, you know, made above average zone contact last year and is running, and this team is running a ton. He's got more stolen bases than multiple teams. So, I mean, I think Strang probably should be rostered in just about every format, at least for right now.
Yeah, I kind of think so too. Because yeah, at least see where this goes with the stolen bases. Six this fast. He's second and short eligible. I'm checking. ESPN. I'm looking at their site too, just in case, you know, Fantasy Pros is behind a day or two. It's only 15% over there. Now, they don't use a middle and everything, and I get it. But, I mean, for this kind of stolen base energy, I'd put Strang in the util slot for a little bit at least. They play seven next week, including four at Cincy. Only one lefty, Nick Lodolo, in that Cincy series, and then another lefty in Cole Irvin in the Baltimore series. So seven games. Yeah, I think you take a shot and kind of see where this goes with those swipes because Bryce Durang's running wild. All right, moving over to third base. This guy was a fantasy darling. People were really shooting him up the board, and they were betting on a power potential despite the fact that it really wasn't there in the numbers. This was one, or at least not glaringly so. Mikel Garcia, for the Royals, people were saying, hey, this guy's got more punch than it might look like he has. You know, four homers in 515 plate appearances last year, 086 ISO. What do you mean power? Whatever it was, like 51% hard hit rate. I don't know if there were some secondary, tertiary StatCast numbers that had people interested, but he was being pegged as somebody who, yeah, he brings the speed, but there's also more power potential than what we've seen so far. And even though it's only been a week, I'm going to go ahead and put a little check mark next to that as correct, because he's already got three homers. And when you hit four all of last year in 515 plate appearances, and then Mikel Garcia goes three homers in 27 plate appearances, I think you can already mark that off as a correct statement for the power surge. 44% rostered at ESPN and Yahoo combined. So a lot more rostered than some of these other ones, but still over half available. Are we rushing out to get Mikel Garcia with KC?
Yeah, he should be 100% rostered. Like 100% rostered. Like I mean, I understand that, you know, the shallower leagues, ESPN, Yahoo, things like that tend to be a little slower. They don't have as many active leagues, but there should be one active owner in every single league to be picking up Mikel Garcia. The fact that he is not rostered right now is criminally insane. He's doing everything he should be doing. Like he's
leading off, right?
Yeah, I believe he's been leading off the whole season.
Yeah, I will double. Yeah, and playing that, you know, righties and he's a righty, so.
Yeah,
you know, he's not a short side platoon.
Every game.
That's fantastic.
He's had a hit in every game except for one. Like you said, three home runs. He's already got a stolen base. Like, this is a Mikel Garcia season right now.
So far, so great. And like I said, we don't declare too much too early, but you got victory lap season on your board back there.
It's time, baby.
I think you can pretty much start putting on your sneaks at the very least with him because, again, he's one homer away from tying his total from last year. You love to see it. Plate skills are a little rough, 26% K rate, 4% walk. I'll let that sort itself out. I want Mikel Garcia. I got a little bit of FOMO on him because I wasn't fully bought in on the price surge, but I understood the hype and I was intrigued enough that I wanted some Mikel Garcia and didn't get him. But he's killing it.
Don't worry about those plate skills that much. I mean, he's, you know, swinging outside his zone a little bit, but not like a ton. He's making 88% zone contact, which is 3% above league average, and his swing strike rate is under 9%.
Like, nice.
I think he's going to be fine in terms of the strikeout rate. He's not a guy who walks a lot because he is aggressive, especially in the zone, but he makes a lot of zone contact. So
I did get him in TGFBI, so I got something there.
There you go.
I got him in a few leagues.
I wish I had him in more leagues.
Yeah, it would be nice, especially with as fast as he's started. Mikel Garcia there for KC. Jose Caballero, a guy that we talked about, you know, when he got traded, I was definitely interested and got him in a couple DCs, actually, so the deeper leagues there for some of his speed. He's only 3% roster, so he's definitely super available, playing out there with Tampa Bay, and he's playing pretty consistently. He had a day off on Monday, but it looks like he's played damn near every other game besides that. So that's like a standard day off with six games played. You know, nothing off the charts with his numbers so far as the hitting, but three steals in four attempts. I like that he already has four attempts, even though he got caught once. He's go, go, go. What do we think of Jose Caballero? If you can't get to Rang, would you pivot to Caballero in Tampa Bay?
I mean, I would just for right now, though, because
yeah, everything's short term with these guys. Do not worry about anything long term with any. Maybe Garcia is the one that we like the most, and he's also the highest rostered. And then the next guy we're both big fans of. But don't worry too long term about anything. These are 2 to 3 week pickups right now, and you worry about everything else as it plays out beyond that.
Yeah, I do worry once like Walls comes back. that Caballero is going to lose playing time because Wall is a good defender too. The organization really likes him. And the underlying skills are not great on Caballero. We're talking about a guy swinging outside of the zone 45% of the time. His swinging strike rate is 16.4% right now. He's
fortunate to only have an 18% K rate with
him. Yeah, it's insane. He's also being very, very aggressive, but he doesn't have the type of contact abilities that other guys have. Now, he is making a lot of contact in the zone, but that's mostly because he's just swinging at everything in the zone. So I do think there's going to be like a cratering of the batting average at some point. And if that coincides with Walls coming back, then Caballero could be in some trouble in terms of playing time. But right now, he's a very good defender. The Rays really like having a good defender at short. It's the reason why Caminero is not up, because I think Caminero is looked at as a third baseman in this organization. And so I think he's got playing time for right now. If you're looking for speed, that's what Caballero brings.
Yeah, and that's where I'm at with Caballero and what I was thinking when I drafted him in a DC. The only pushback I give on the swing and miss is historically he doesn't swing and miss like that. So if he can tamp that back down, if maybe this is just a cold streak where he's just missing a little bit more than we've seen normally from him, because he was 9% last year on the swinging strike rate, 16% this year. But if he doesn't fix it, then yeah, that strikeout rate is going to balloon from 18% and the batting average will come down with it. So take the steals right now, play it, you know, play it week to week, and then we'll see what happens when Walls comes back. You know, maybe somebody else is hurt and he bounces around somewhere else. He's a utility type guy, so is Walls. But I do like Caballero. I liked him coming into the year, and so far so good with the three steals. This next guy, like I said, we have both been long-term fans. He's up at 36% rostered, so the second highest behind Michael Garcia. And so I do like him a bit more long-term. It's never really been about talent with Taylor Ward. It's always been about health, and he's healthy right now. So I'm in. Three homers, you know, doing his thing. There's not much great going on with the Angels, but Trout and Ward are the two that are kind of hitting in the middle of the lineup there. Like I said, you've been a fan of Ward in the past. Are you buying in on him in 10s and 12s right now while he's upright?
Yeah, as long as he's healthy. I mean, like you said, it's only been health issues that have been a problem with Ward. And so I don't have super huge concerns that like the talent level is going to decrease as long as he's healthy. So, and you know, he's been hurt a lot in the last few years, but I don't know that he's necessarily injury prone as of yet. But yeah, just ride it for right now. Like it's just not,
he's only reached 100 games once. Sorry, I thought you were done there, but he's only reached 100 games just the one time. And it was back in 2022 when he had a nice breakthrough season, 23 homers and a 134 OPS plus for Taylor Ward. He's going to play when he's healthy. If he gets hurt, we can move on. It's kind of it's a more powerful Kirilloff situation. And again, you don't like Kirilloff as much as I do. And I'm not like Mr. Kirilloff, but I'm willing to take the shot. But with Ward, the talent is there. He just has to figure out a way to stay healthy. He is age 30, so he's not a spring chicken, but hopefully he can find some health. And if he and Trout can find some health in that lineup, it'll give him actually something to kind of go off of there. You know, they have six homers between them with 11 ribbies. And I think the team has eight homers and 26 ribbies combined. So those two are really carrying the load for them right now.
It's an insanely bad team. Yeah.
It's been rough. Like, and I was even trying to give him a little bit of a pass, like, yo, why are they leading off Anthony Rendon? I was like, he had a 360 OBP last year. Like, that's not bad at all. Only 236 average, but a 361 OBP. Yeah, he's 0-for. He's 0-for-19 with one walk. And this is why you don't go around. Go ahead.
Did you see the graphic of him and someone tweeted out his spray chart?
Yeah, that's really funny. And this is why you don't go around talking about how much you hate baseball, because then when you suck, everyone's going to throw it in your face. And it's not even that I don't think Anthony Rendon can have that sentiment. And I'm not dumb to the notion that hundreds of professional athletes share his idea of like, this is just a job. I was blessed with this talent and I don't really care about the sport. I just want to cash my checks and do my thing. But the more you go around saying that and then you suck because you're 34 and beat up, they're going to think, oh, you don't try, you don't care. And that's why you just keep your mouth shut. And you just don't, you don't need to express that opinion so much because you open yourself up to the hate. Yeah. But anyway, Taylor Ward, we're in. Go get him. I'm actually surprised it's only 36% because I really like him even in three outfielder leagues. I'm just a big Taylor Ward mm-hmm. fan because the talent is there. Another guy I'm a fan of, but I never really, I don't draft that much or really roster because I understand his flaws. He's just somebody I kind of root for and like to see when he has little spikes. But would you believe, actually, let me just challenge you on this first. Mm-hmm. Michael A. Taylor. What were his yeah. homer and stolen base totals last year?
I already know, so I don't
okay.
want to like...
Okay, yeah. 21 and 13
yeah.
in 388 mm-hmm. plate appearances. Now, I know it came with a 220 average, and in 15-teamers, that's one thing where we can kind of eat that and you know deal with it a little bit. It's quite a bit different in a 10 and 12. He can't be hitting that low, but right now he isn't. He's off to a fast start with a 964 OPS, no homers and only one steal, but he's playing every day because he's a wonderful defender. Michael A. Taylor is a...
And they hate Edward Olivares.
Yes, they do. And they probably got the note from KC. They're like, here, you can have this guy, but make sure you hate him. They said, okay.
You know, like teams like have to share like their medical information with yes. other teams. Like they're like says, a posted six, like this guy sucks.
That's all we it says. Hate
this guy. Yeah. Like,
was there any reason why? No, we just don't like him. Can you send him to Omaha? They're like, well, we don't have a team. What do you mean?
They looked at the chest x-ray and they were like, there is no dog in him.
There's no dog. So
it's just lungs.
Just pure lungs and send him to Omaha for no mm-hmm. good reason. Yeah. So Michael A. Taylor's playing. He's a great defender. Any interest here?
I mean, I guess in a deeper league, I would have some interest because he's playing, but.
Yeah, I guess he is the one guy that it is going to have some availability in even our 15-teamers here because mm-hmm. he's only 15% rostered at the main event. So, yeah, let's spin it to the deeper leagues for this one because I don't think that he quite makes the cut, yeah. Michael A. Taylor.
He's in the rocking. 10s and 12s. Michael A. Taylor is rocking a 600 BABIP, right?
I know, so. But he went 21-13 last year.
Which makes him viable probably in a 10-team league, a 15-team league, even if he is, you know, that batting average craters, right? Because that batting average is going to crater. Last year, his zone contact was 81.5%. And like I said, 85 is usually around where league average. What do you guess his zone contact is right now? Obviously, super small sample. It will change.
96.
No.
100.
No.
Oh, am I too high? Oh yeah, okay. I was my next guess was going to be low. I realized I was going the wrong way.
You know, like the 35% strikeout rates that we've been seeing for Michael A. Taylor, like, or you know, 33%. Like he's got 32% right now. Like that's legitimate. It's probably the only thing legitimate about his line.
You know what else he really benefited from? Facing Miami, where they have a billion lefties. So he got to face a ton of lefties to start the year as a right-hander and kind of pick
and
on them.
And a bunch of, like, crappy pitchers and A.J. Puck and A.J. Puck and A.J. Puck.
He has looked horrendous. That's been a nightmare. So, yeah, he's going to come back down to earth with the batting average, Michael A. Taylor's, but he might still get you some power and speed. If you need a fill-in, five outfielder, 15-teamers, I think I can at least put him in the proverbial waterfall in a main event situation. All right, our last guy, Brendan Donovan, a guy I really like, and man, I'm still so bummed. And it's not his fault that he got hurt, but like I got burned by him last year. He was cut in my main, and I picked him up. You know, it was one of those early cuts where I was like, wow, I'm surprised he's cut. Picked him up. He was hitting that high note, man. Things were really going well. He was helping my team kind of make a turnaround. Then he got hurt, out for the year. Ends up only playing 95 games. But he was somebody who had like talks of a spring power surge, and it came to fruition. He hit 11 homers in 95 games after five in 126 the year before. So now Brendan Donovan, healthy again, playing well, only 18% rostered. Where are we at on Brendan Donovan in 10s and 12s as a super util guy, too?
I'm definitely interested. I want to see what the result of this elbow issue that he's got going on.
I just saw that, by the way. I did not even know that until literally just now that he got nicked and he's out of the lineup today.
Yeah, so I definitely want to be like, okay, let's be a little careful here. Let's see what, and hopefully it's nothing too serious. He should have stolen base too. He got thrown out, but I think he was actually safe. And when they went to go replay it, it was there wasn't enough evidence to overturn it. So he should have a home run and a stolen base. Like, there isn't like a ton of power or a ton of speed, but there is a little bit of everything, and there is a lot of batting average, and he's leading off for a pretty good offense in St. Louis. I know, someone in my chat on Monday was like, how, as a Cardinals fan, like, how much should I like be like crying right now because our offense sucks? So like, you opened against the Dodgers pitching, like,
yeah,
like just relax, breathe, just calm down, like,
yeah,
like what, before I changed my sign to victory lap season, I had like, don't overreact, like, that's like, just don't overreact to things right now. And people, we're going to want that. To, we you will
leave that sign up. Because people need to fucking chill, dude.
Just chill out and relax. Watch baseball. Enjoy yourselves. Unless you're... I was on Sirius today for the RotoWire show with Todd and Jeff. And, like, they're like, well, when you see, like, your pitcher, like, Bailey Ober get blown up, like, what do you do? I'm like, nothing, man.
Nothing.
Unless there is an actual reason to freak out. Like, for me, like, Nestor Cortez, like, he is not
got looked some nerves right. on him. Puck, there's like some, you said... I'm out on puck.
Yep. You know, if a guy's velocity is down, if a guy can't find the zone, I'm starting to get worried. If, you know, a hitter is injured, I'm worried. If it's none of those things, like, I'm not that worried. Like, Nolan Arenado's slow start, I don't care. Like, I couldn't
care less. Evan Carter, somebody asked my chat about Evan Carter. Like, what are we doing with Evan Carter? What do you mean? Putting him in my lineup and not even looking at anything for another month minimum.
Unless they're going up against a bunch of lefties. Like, I just...
Yeah.
Evan Carter, he starts in the righties for me. So.
And notice we mentioned, like, Cortez, Puck. Those guys were picked in the 200s or later.
Mm-hmm.
You can start looking at some guys there. And even then, it's not auto-cut either. I think Cortez... he gets Miami at... home to Miami at Cleveland next week. That's a two-step that I kind of want to see through.
Yeah.
So I'm not even necessarily cutting him yet. Now, Puck, I wanted to see through the Angels game. I did not see anything that encourages me. I'm out.
But he gets the Yankees next week. If you're freaking out and, like, Francisco Lindor is starting off with, like, negative WRC+. And
I'm talking even in an eight-teamer. Don't do that.
Like, just don't. Like, just don't worry about it. Like, it's okay. They're going to be fine. Like, especially for bats right now, because the cold weather tends to damper things anyways. You know, guys are, you know, kind of getting used to the schedule. Like, just relax.
Yep.
It's fine. Everything's going to be fine.
You just got to relax. I know we say it every year. You can go find April episodes from us over the years, and we say the same shit every year. I understand, but it bears repeating because people still ask these freak out questions, and I get it. You know, I was talking about this on my stream this morning. This is one of the negatives of the internet era for fantasy baseball, is that we get this up to the minute stats. And so we want to do something. We want to manage. Yeah. Whereas back in the day when you and I first started playing fantasy, you know, me even before you, the internet didn't even fucking exist. We couldn't get the stat. My dad and his colleagues ran them once a week. And sometimes they couldn't even do it because work got in the way. They had to wait another week or, you know, 10 days. And so you couldn't go too crazy with moves, and it probably benefited people early on so that they could actually let some samples solidify a little bit. So just be patient, relax. Go ahead.
I was going to hammer the point home a little bit. Jeff Passan tweeted out, like, the teams with, like, the highest and lowest run differential in baseball. Who do you think has the highest run differential in baseball right now?
The Pirates.
The Pirates are pretty close. They're fourth. So good call. It's not like an atrocious team, but not a team where you go, oh, that's
Guardians.
The Guardians. The Guardians have the highest run differential baseball. Like, things will equal itself out.
Yeah.
Like, it just...
Can you believe they mollywopped Kirby? And that sucks, right? I love Kirby. Mm-hmm. I was talking him up as the next big thing, second or third on my list behind Strider and Burns. And yeah, that sucks to drop one against a team like that. Shit happens, dude. It's like your Ober one.
The Mariners and Philadelphia and Toronto are all tied for fourth lowest run differential in baseball. Those are playoff teams. Like, those are teams that should be competing for playoffs. Mm-hmm. Like, just don't worry right now if your guy's off to a slow start. Like, just enjoy watching baseball.
Just enjoy, even if your team isn't doing that well. And again, you should have some churnable spots at the back end of your roster. But anybody that you spent the top like three quarters or at least two thirds picks on, do not touch. Yeah. See them through, because you're going to cut guys and then feel terrible. And again, it is a little different in 10s and 12s. So you should have some churnable spots, but not these guys that you invested in big that were your breakout picks of the year. No breakout guy that you actually loved should you be making a move on right now, unless you've really seen a tangible difference. And I think the reason I put that caveat in is because somebody like Puck, I know people did have some hype on him because he had a big spring. If you cut him, I do understand that one. I definitely understand that one a bit more. All right, that's gonna do it. Again, quickies on Thursday, because we're right back at it on Friday. We're going to do some two starts tomorrow and maybe some fast start pitchers that I'll throw in addition to the two start guys. And obviously any news that happens here, although there's only four more games. The rest of actually our game, one, two, three, four, well, five. But if this Pittsburgh Washington goes off, because it's still delayed. So there's only five more games today anyway. So hopefully we don't get any bad news, but what do you have?
Matt in the chat. Oh, how dare you tell me to relax on St. Louis? It's hard, man. Like, I know it's hard when, like, you're like, my team is 2-5 right now. And, like, there is part it of me stinks. Goes, I knew they sucked. Damn it. Like, this is just going to be. But they opened up against the Padres, who they split against, and then they got swept by the best team in baseball, who may win like 135 games. Like, the Dodgers are so freaking good.
They're unbelievable. They're unbelievable. And like, even on the other end too, I'm excited that what my Tigers are doing, but we haven't done shit yet. There's nothing. Like, I know we're a little upstart team. We got some juice. People like us. We still haven't done anything yet. It's so, so early. So again, step back, enjoy baseball, put on the iPad, put on the MLB at bat, watch some ball games, and maybe games where your fantasy players aren't playing. Maybe that's what you need to do to calm yourself, but just enjoy.
I'm just really glad that we're wrapping up this podcast right now, because Pablo Lopez had a clean inning and now Tanner Biden come up the mound. And I want to see him give up seven home runs like Michael Kopech did last year. Knock on some wood right now.
I would go full Justin Mason if that happened, because I have Bibee in one of my mains as my ace, because I waited a little bit on starter. And he already blew one.
What were you doing that?
What?
What were you doing there? We never got to talk about your second main.
That's right. I mean, well, who would you have changed, really? I liked my hitting. I went for hitting.
You waited so long.
I know. And it was nerve-wracking to do that. That was the one where I was picking from the one spot. I went Acuña, Semien, Edwin Diaz, Royce Lewis, Mike Trout, Xander Bogaerts, and then Tanner Bibee as my ace. I mean, I wanted Cease. Not that that would have made you feel that much more comfortable with my ace, but he went three picks before the Bogaerts pick.
A Cease Bibee.
Aaron, that's exactly what I wanted to do.
I would have just, instead of taking Semien, as much as I love Semien, I just would have taken a starter in the second round. I would have gone like Semien, or I would have gone like a start. Who are the starters still available at that 2-3 turn for you?
Everyone but Strider, Burns, Castillo, Wheeler, Kirby, Gausman, Lopez, and Glasnow. Webb. It would have been Webb, Scooble, Fromber would have been the guys I was looking at.
A Scooble Edwin Diaz start would have been Cunha, Scooble, Edwin Diaz.
That's fine.
So you didn't get any starters and you didn't get any relievers.
I got Edwin Diaz.
Your hitting's going to be great, but you didn't get second closer.
No, I did not. But I have Jeff Hoffman. He's going to get that job.
I hope. Well, I'm probably going to drop off him.
I'm sticking with him right now. The second main did not turn out quite as well as I'd hoped. I love the offense, like you said.
Offense great, yeah.
But I'm in the saves rat race and need to get some starters. So it's
going to be watching your stream of your main while doing a stream of my $1,500 auction.
I love it.
You can go and listen to me doing the auctions. What the hell is Paul doing?
What is Paul doing over there?
Why are you lighting money on fire, Paul? Stop it.
I didn't light money on fire. Stop. I'm fine, okay? You know, if Bobby Miller or Cole Reagans had made it, I wouldn't have taken Royce Lewis. That was the real issue. Because I was always going to take Semien. Where I really could have maybe made the change was the call. And I like to pay for saves, you know that.
Yeah.
But I would have gone, if I could have gone Semien, Webb, maybe that would have made more sense. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I don't know, figure out closers in the middle there. But I love that offense. I still really like
Alex Kirilloff just hit a double, almost a home run.
Because he's awesome.
Triple.
Oh, great. That's off paper, Bobby, though. Shit.
Paper wrist can run a little
paper
bit.
Paper wrist. Actually, he got a little speed, too.
Yeah. All right, we got to turn this off before Bobby.
Before it melts down. All right, yeah. I'll talk to you in the morning tomorrow. Two starts and some other hot pitchers. We'll talk about them. Peace.
Take it easy. I'm turning this off.